Chapter 4. When I wake up, it takes me a moment to realize where the hell I am. Some bad motel art stares down at me from the wood-paneled walls. I'm all tangled up in a scratchy sheet. Must have been tossing and turning like crazy. It feels like I've only slept for a few hours. The Patience Creek Bed and Breakfast. An old spy hangout from the Cold War era. Sam filled me in on the details while he half-carried me through the halls. I was so spent and delirious, I'm a little amazed that I retained any of what he'd told me. Sam. He's next to me, on the other side of the bed, already awake and sitting up, his feet on the floor, back to me. He hasn't noticed that I'm stirring yet. Sam scratches his neck and yawns. He took off his shirt to sleep, and I watch him reach out towards the worn gray t-shirt where it hangs over the back of a chair, concentrate, and float the shirt towards him with telekinesis. I smile drowsily. It's hard to believe this is the same kid who bumbled around the halls of Paradise High School, nearly getting himself killed the night we first met. That wasn't so long ago, but so much has changed. Sam's still skinny and a little on the gangly side, yet there's a scrappy layer of muscle on him now. And then there are the scars, fresh pink and upraised on his wrists and forearms, the results of Sam's time getting tortured by Cetricus Raw. I put my hand on Sam's back and trace down the bumps of his spine. He jumps, loses his concentration, and his t-shirt flops out of the air. "Good morning," I say quietly. "It is morning, right?" "Almost noon," Sam replies as he turns around to look at me with a smile. His eyes linger on me for a moment, but then he catches himself, flushes, and shyly looks away. It occurs to me then that I'm not wearing any clothes. Now I remember what happened. After Ella broke the news to me that I didn't kill Cetricus Raw, I about broke down. Once Sam got me to his room, he strongly encouraged that I take a shower, and I did, washing off the gray-green dust of what used to be the sanctuary, along with Sarah's dried blood. I remember very clearly the way that the grime pooled around my toes and circled down the drain. I inhaled steam and pressed my forehead against the cool tiles, let my skin wrinkle and turn bright red from the heat. And then at some point I crawled into bed. Sam had tried to stay awake, I think, but he couldn't pull it off. He hadn't left me anything clean to wear, so. "I put some clothes on the desk," Sam says cautiously. "Oh, I guess you did," I say out loud. A loose-fitting flower-print tunic and some jeans that looked dangerously close to bell-bottoms wait for me across the room. I guess we're picking from whatever leftover garments are floating around the hideout. At least they're clean.
Well, you just kind of fell asleep in here," Sam proceeds awkwardly. "I didn't want to wake you up. Sorry if it's... anyway... We can get you your own room."
"It's okay, Sam. Relax," I reply as I sit up, not feeling very modest. I sidle over to him, drape one arm over his shoulder, and hook the other around his waist, hugging him close. His skin is warm against mine. "After what happened, I thought you would, I don't know, push me away again," Sam says quietly, half distracted, probably on account of me kissing the back of his neck.
"Nope," I reply.
"Good," he mumbles.
"Okay, so maybe this isn't the most appropriate time. I've still got a lot on my mind and on my conscience, but if I learned anything from John and Sarah, it's that you have to embrace these moments, not run from them. You never know when it might be your last chance." Of course, we're interrupted about 2 minutes later by a knock on the door. Sam leaps off the bed like he's going to get in trouble, pulls on his shirt, and goes to the door, He looks back at me, and I smirk, pulling the sheet up to my chin. Sam opens the door a crack. I'm surprised to see the young buzzcut twins who I noticed when we arrived, the ones who were with that General Lawson dude who Sam told me is in charge. One of them just stares at Sam, completely deadpan. The other, a little friendlier but still economical with his words, announces, "There's a meeting." "All right," Sam replies. "We'll be out in a minute." The twins raise an eyebrow in unison at Sam's use of "we." He shuts the door in their faces. "Guess we're on," he says to me. "Back to the war," I reply with a bittersweet smile. As I begin to get dressed, I nod my head in the direction of the door. There's a lot about our situation that I still don't know. Better to get my questions out of the way before we head off to this meeting with the military.
"What's with the twins?"
"Caleb and Christian," Sam tells me their names and shrugs. "They're a couple of military school kids. They're lanes."
"Yeah, they seemed like lames."
Sam laughs. "No, not lame. Lane. L-A-N-E. Not sure why I'd expect you to know brand new acronyms that the government just invented. It means Legacy Afflicted Native Earthling."
"Afflicted?"
I pause while pulling on my shirt. "They make it sound like a bad thing." "Yeah, they use augmented instead of afflicted when you guard are around, but my dad saw one of the internal emails." Sam shrugs apologetically, like he's the ambassador for all humanity. I guess the people in charge aren't entirely sure yet if legacies are a good thing for a bunch of human teenagers to develop. They're concerned there could be drawbacks or side effects.
"Yeah. One of the side effects is that it makes it a lot harder for the Moogs to shoot you in the face."
"Come on, I know that," Sam replies. "For your average human, though, this is a lot to take in. I mean, we've got two brand new types of intelligent life to wrap our heads around, and that's before we even get to how you Lorik mutated us." I raise an eyebrow. "Mutated in a good way," Sam adds.
"So, what do those twins do?"
I ask, circling back. He shrugs. "Only telekinesis, as far as I know." I'm fully clothed, but I've still got more questions. I stand in front of the doorway with my hands on my hips. "So, that Lawson guy, what's his deal?"
"He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs back in the 90s, I guess. Retired."
I give Sam a blank look.
"Chairman of the Joint Chiefs is, like, the highest military posting in America. Reports directly to the president, yada yada yada."
Sam rubs the back of his neck. I didn't know what it was either, and I was actually born on this planet.
"Okay, so what happened to the current chairman?"
"He was Moog Pro. They brought Lawson back because he'd been retired so long, no one bothered corrupting him. He's like the human version of this place."
"Speaking of Moog Pro, I saw Agent Walker hanging around last night, too," I say, a little edge to my voice.
"You trust her? You trust this Lawson guy?"
"Walker's all right. She fought alongside us in New York. As for Lawson," Sam frowns, "I don't know. Hard for me to trust any kind of organization after Moog Pro, but they'd have to be crazy to turn on us now."
While Sam speaks, an old TV set perched on a stand against the far wall suddenly comes to life with a burst of static. We both turn in that direction.
"What the hell?" I ask.
Sam rubs his temples. "This old place is wired weird or something. That TV's probably filled with spiders."
"Or hidden cameras."
Sam smirks at me.
"I hope not.
Anyway, I don't think they're organized enough to be spying on us yet." Sam wanders over to the TV and hits the button to turn it off. Nothing happens.
"See?
Broken," he says before smacking the side of the TV. "Come on." When Sam speaks, all the electronics in the room, the TV, the nightstand lamp, the ancient rotary phone, they all flare to life for a second. A burst of static from the TV, a flicker of light from the lamp, and a shrill ring from the phone. Sam doesn't notice. He's too busy unplugging the TV from the wall, which finally turns it off. See? Crazy. Whole place is nuts. I stare at him. Sam, it's not the wiring. It's you. What's me? You did that just now with the electronics, I tell him. I think you're developing a new legacy. Sam's eyebrows shoot up, and he looks down at his hands. What? Already? Yeah, they come on quick once the telekinesis manifests, I reply. You saw that kid in Ella's dreamshare thing, the German? Bertrand the Beekeeper, Sam says, reminding me of his name. Daniela got one, too. I guess I didn't think it would happen so soon for me. I'm still getting used to being telekinetic. I don't know who Daniela is, but I nod along anyway. The entity knew the world needs protecting in a hurry. Huh, Sam says, mulling this over. So it's something to do with electronics. He turns back to the TV and thrusts his palms at it. He succeeds in emitting a telekinetic burst that knocks the TV off its stand and to the floor with a loud crash. Oops. Well, you've got the telekinesis down at least. Sam turns to me. If you're right, how do I get it to work? Before I can tell Sam that I have no idea, we're interrupted by another knock on the door. A second later, one of the twins' muffled voices reaches us. Whatever you guys are doing in there, could it wait? General Lawson told us if we didn't round everyone up by 0900, it'd be our asses. I exchange a look with Sam. We'll talk about this later, I say. He nods, and we open the door to join the two sullen military cadets. As we head down the hallway, Sam stares at every overhead light like an enemy that needs to be conquered.